Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad to have you with us. And we have a very important show, a different show for you today. We have an election coming up for Volusia County Sheriff. And so we've invited candidates to come in and talk with us. You say, well, where's the financial element here, David? Are you going to stretch this? Yes, I am. Because how we spend our tax dollars, how we keep our community safe has everything to do with your finances and your own personal security. So I'm very glad to welcome Eric Dietrich to the program. And Eric's in the studio with us, took time out of his very busy schedule to join us and to talk with us about his campaign to be the next Volusia County Sheriff. So I'd like to welcome Eric to the program. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, David.
My pleasure. I'm glad you're here. So many questions that the listeners would want me to ask you. Number one, when did you decide you wanted to run for sheriff?
You know, in the beginning of January, when the sheriff announced that he was retiring, he met with me and we had a talk about being sheriff of Volusia County. I was very honored and humbled when he came to me, and he advised me that he felt that I had the leadership and the temperament and the ability to take the agency to the next level, judging on the fact of what I've accomplished within my career, my 22-year career with the sheriff's office. I was very, again, humbled and honored, and advised him that I had to go home and speak with the real sheriff first.
That's
before
good.
I could make a decision.
That's good.
But I went home and I discussed it with my family and close friends. Took several days to make my decision because it had a big impact on my family. And first and foremost, I'm a family man. I'm glad to celebrate 18 years of marriage here in July with my beautiful wife, Chris. And I have two children, a 15-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. And I know it was going to be a change in their life.
Sure,
so I wanted their perspective on this decision because it wasn't an individual decision. It was a family decision.
Very good.
But afterwards, I got the blessing of my family and very excited to say that I'm running for sheriff of Volusia County, and I'm looking for the votes of the citizens out there to have me be their next sheriff.
Excellent. Well, we applaud your efforts and stepping up. What's that feel like to have, you know, somebody like Ben Johnson, who's been sheriff for, 440 years?
Yes.
I'm sure some days he felt like that. But no, but have somebody with his tenure, and, of course, everybody respects him, to have him tap you and say, hey, look, Eric, this is something you need to think about and look at.
Again, you know, it was very honoring for me, and it was one of those surreal moments of my life where all the hard work and dedication that I put forth the last 22 years was realized on that day when I got up and walked out of that room and drove away from our training center. It was an unbelievable feeling that everything that all the hard work that I've put forth has paid off, and for him to have the confidence in me to do the job was just an humbling experience.
That's excellent. That's wonderful. So it's almost like it, I mean, I'm sure, you know, as you think about, of course, with your experience on the force and 22 years, you're thinking about where do I go from here? You, of course, know he's getting closer, but he talked to you about it. So now from your standpoint, you know, this is more about you and you're wanting to do it. What are some of the things that are driving you to feel like this is the right thing for you to do at this point in your career?
Well,
because when you raise your hand and say, I want to be sheriff, you know, that's kind of a, you know, because you have obviously other people who would like the same job.
Yes, yes.
So this is a career impacting decision to run against somebody else who might win.
Yes, yes. So there's always risk with reward.
Yeah.
But when this opportunity presented itself, I've always been the individual that's always put forth 110% and always looked to the future as to prepare myself for the next step. And I think I've done that with the sheriff's office and all the variety of assignments and the accomplishments that I've done throughout my 22 years to put me on that platform that I believe that I'm the most qualified candidate for sheriff, that I'm able to take this agency into challenging times and take it to a new level.
Well, and that's something we got to dig into because there are some big challenges out there. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can talk about with that. For people who want more information, get involved with your campaign, learn more about your qualifications and your credentials and your experience, you've got a website set up.
Yes, I do. EricDietrichForSheriff.com.
All right, excellent. So you can check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Learn more. We won't be able to cover everything that we need to cover with Eric today, but want you to have that as a resource, and including your endorsements and other people besides Ben Johnson that think you're the guy for the job.
Yes, there's several on there.
All right, excellent. So you mentioned challenges, and I want to get to that because there are some big ones. You know, all we have to do is open up a paper, turn on the television, and it seems like, you know, we used to think that we had, to, you know, 9/11, and then after 9/11, we had that horrible time period and all the horrible events that occurred. But then after that, you know, the American people, and I think a lot of folks just said, you know, okay, things will get better and things will get better. But it's almost like we've continued to see just one thing after another, and then close to home over in Orlando with the nightclub attack, terrorist act. And so people are anxious. On one hand, they're a little numb to it. It's happening all the time, but we're also very anxious. And so these are some significant challenges, I would imagine, for law enforcement to address those things, to try to prevent, knowing that, you know, that there are just major obstacles to overcome. I mean, how do you wrap your mind around all that?
Yes. Well, first and foremost, I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to the victims over there in Orlando and all the EMS and law enforcement that had to respond to that, because those types of incidents are something that they will never forget.
It's traumatic.
And hopefully never see again in their careers. But yes, those challenges, you know, I truly believe the way we can combat challenges is through teamwork and relationships. And unfortunately, it takes tragedies in our society to bring us together, to see the love that's come out of that community in Orlando after the incident at Pulse Nightclub. Is, you know, I believe my challenge is, how do we capture that feeling and continue that 365 days a year to where everybody is looking to help and be a part of the team? Because, you know, in law enforcement, we can't do it alone. We need people out there on the streets that's able to communicate with us and give us the information so we can respond effectively and efficiently and be aware when we're responding. So I believe in trying to connect with the people and in making sure our agency stays open and transparent with the citizens. I want them on my team.
Yeah, sure.
I want them a part of the team because we can't do it alone.
Yeah, we're not looking for vigilantes, okay?
No.
We're not looking for you to get out there and pull somebody over in your own car that looks suspicious here. But you know, this will sound kind of corny, but I was watching, I think it was some sort of superhero movie. They're talking about being able to have every phone on the planet, the camera on it, you know, see everything going on and find somebody they were looking for. But you almost need that in today's world, not necessarily people's cameras, but you need their eyes on the street. You need them to report anything that looks unusual or weird, so that then law enforcement can determine if there's a real issue or problem or not.
Absolutely. I think sometimes they're afraid to get involved, and I understand everybody is busy and has stressful lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you can take that moment, it will make a difference. If you see something, that's where you need to say something, because it would make a difference. And I'm sure if anybody were able to see any of the signs that were coming from any of the tragedies that we've experienced over the years.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it make it easier and make it a little more manageable and give you a chance to respond and you determine?
Yes, absolutely. It would just allow them to be a part of the process. And again, I believe we can prevent acts of terrorism if people just report things that seem to be out of the ordinary. They don't need to be embarrassed about it. They don't need to feel that they're bothering anybody. If it turns out to be nothing, well then...
No harm done,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
No harm done.
Exactly.
Well, I'll give you an example. I was on vacation, and we were in Seattle, and we were on this little tiny taxi boat, like a little tugboat, and there was a drone that was flying over a big party, and the guys driving the boat said, you know, that looks weird. Let me call the Bar Harbor, whatever, the Harbor Police, law enforcement, and he called and reported it and said, yep, they have permission, and they said, but thank you for calling. I mean, it wasn't a big deal and no harm done, but what if it wasn't authorized? What if it was something where they were violating, you know, the ordinance or whatever it was, or maybe there was going to be some sort of attack?
Exactly. And that's what I'm getting, is just to get those people to take the time to report something. Don't feel that you're bothering us, or that dismiss it in your own mind. If you see something that stands out, there's a reason. We all talk about that sense. Trust your gut instinct.
Oh, yeah.
And if you see it, call. And if it turns out to be nothing, then no harm, no foul. But if it's something that could allow us to prevent an incident of tragedy, then what a great way to be a part of the team and a part of the process that we were able to step in and save lives.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Eric Dietrich is with us in the studio here running for Volusia County Sheriff, EricDietrichForSheriff.com. And I want to, we'll go grab a quick break. We'll come back, Eric. I want to talk about some of the challenges that we face in our local community and some of the ways we can work on that. And specifically, you know, how does our crime compare to some of the other communities? And are there specific things about our area that maybe make it a challenge, like the Speedway and some of these large groups that get together? So we're going to grab that break. We'll be right back with Eric. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, no cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And we are back with Eric Dietrich, running for Volusia County Sheriff. He's got a website you can check out a lot more we won't be able to get to on the program, ericdietrichforsheriff.com. And, you know, it's curious to me, Eric, I want to ask you, you know, we have in our community, of course, some areas because of where we are located in the state of Florida and some of the attractions that I think people might wonder, do they create more of a chance for us to have a terrorist attack or more what they call quote unquote soft targets like the Speedway where you have, thousands and thousands of fans together? And, you know, I mean, is that an issue for you guys in managing all of that? And then what do you do about it? How do you tackle something like that?
You tackle that through teamwork with your federal, state, and local partners. That's something that we've been doing. I believe we do a great job in working with the federal agencies as well as Daytona Beach PD and bringing in outside resources to ensure that we have the coverage for security in the with the Speedway. The past race of the Coke Zero 400, we implemented some different strategies that allowed, you know, it was based on prevention through presence, and it was taking some of our assets and putting them out in front rather than keeping them behind closed doors. So they were visible. People knew that they were there. And we also allowed us to patrol those areas out in front of the Speedway, not just behind the gates.
Yeah, but yeah, because that's one of the challenges is some of these things where you've got to kind of extend your coverage area, if you will.
Yes, we have to move the boundaries out. We have to look at all avenues of where something could occur, not just based on the fact of they're going to get into where the stands are.
Yeah.
But it's something that collectively we've done with the local agencies, again, federal, state, and local agencies that we work very well. And again, it's all about teamwork and ensuring communication flows throughout those agencies.
You've got an overlap there, of course, with the federal law enforcement. Is there a lot of coordination with something like the FBI and some of these other task forces that are out there that you have from a county standpoint?
Yes, yes, there is coordination with all those partners for those races.
See, and that kind of leads me to my next question, is it seems like there's a lot that goes on that I suppose maybe in a good way, I don't know everything that happens over at the Sheriff's Department, but I wonder about some of the things that happen, and listeners may as well, Eric, about some of the things that you guys do that we might be surprised to know, or just how big of an operation it is. I mean, this is no small project that you're getting involved with.
No, our agency has approximately 930 employees.
Wow.
460 of those are sworn, and then roughly 460 plus are civilians. Very large agency and has many challenges, but you know, my career with the agency, I've experienced and worked in many divisions, and I believe I have a strong operational knowledge of our agency. I'm fiscally sound everywhere I've went as a commander where I've had control of the budget. I've always looked for avenues and areas where I could reduce our spending through repeated processes and see how we can bring those costs in-house. So we're having them done by personnel within the sheriff's office rather than paying outside companies. And that's allowed us to save a lot of money.
That's excellent. Well, we want you to keep a tight hand on those purse strings, Eric, but don't do it too far to affect our safety. I know you're balancing those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your safety is my number one priority, and we have to be able to have the men and women out there on the streets, and we have to look to pay them the best possible salary for them putting their lives on the line.
Absolutely. Keep it competitive and keep them retained long-term employees and folks involved. They're going to obviously give you a lot of strength. The things that you do, you know, obviously county, you're county-wide. You coordinate with the other police departments in the area. Pretty good-sized budget, I'm sure. And as you look at that, you've got some different divisions, and you've been involved with those different divisions in your role. For those that don't know, you have been chief deputy. Now, what does that mean?
I am the number two individual in our agency responsible for the day-to-day operations of our agency, and I oversee the three operating divisions, as well as our public information office and our administrative services division.
So what are the major divisions that you have been responsible for? I mean, in other words, you have a kind of a structure where you have Sheriff Johnson's been in charge, and then underneath him is directly you, and then underneath that you have these different divisions?
Yes, our three divisions is, one is law enforcement services, which is essentially the deputies you see out there on the streets.
Those are the sworn officers.
Yes, that are protecting and answering calls for service. We also have a division that's our judicial services division, which is the deputies that are in the courthouse.
Okay.
Extraditions.
I've seen them, yes.
Civil papers. And then we also have support services division, which covers our training, our evidence, our information technology, and our fleet.
And those are the non-sworn.
We do have some sworn in those positions, but there also is civilians.
Okay. All right. So you have the ones that are sworn, you have the ones that are swearing. Okay. I got it.
Yeah.
Not really. But it's interesting to see the distinguishing between the two. So with all that, then you have people that you have to trust. So your leadership, and if you are become the next sheriff, you know, you have to look to, of course, your team. And I've heard you say several times teamwork. What do you look for in terms of those team members that are going to be taking on key responsibilities for you? You'll have to have your own chief deputy and then people involved in these different divisions. So are you already starting to maybe think a little bit about what that might look like?
Yes, I look at that, and you have to surround yourself with individuals that are qualified for the position and able to get the job done. I do touch about teamwork because I believe as sheriff, it's my responsibility to ensure the safety for all the citizens in the county and ensure that we work as a team, because it doesn't matter if you wear green or blue. It matters about getting the job done, because we work together hand in hand every day out there. The police officers and the deputy sheriffs are working together. They work through our consolidated dispatch. They answer calls collectively. Hot calls for service, you'll see number of agencies that are responding. And having those relationships with the police chiefs, I think, is very, very vital, that you have great working relationships and you're able to build consensus with them. That's something that I've done over the last 10 years as our narcotics commander, overseeing our multi-agency narcotics task forces, as our SWAT commander, which is overseeing our multi-agency SWAT team. I've had interactions with those agencies as well as being the chief deputy. Mm. And I believe it's very important for a sheriff to be able to work very well with the other local law enforcement leaders in our county.
Well, I think the thing that's interesting to me, Eric, and I think it's important for listeners to distinguish and understand, is, you know, you're speaking to experience you've had in these different divisions and these different roles and narcotics and SWAT and all of that. You know, that experience, I would think, would make it a lot easier, or at least give you a lot more perspective in taking on the sheriff role, because as I'm sure you're already learning it and you're preparing yourself, that also the sheriff, that top position, carries with it a lot of political components to it. And so you've got a kind of a different animal, and I admire what you're doing and taking on this opportunity, because you're going from a little bit more of a tactical, you know, you've been out there doing the work, and then moving into this role where, not that you're going to have your feet on your desk or anything like that, but you're moving into a role where you're looking at things differently. And so that experience, I would think, would give you a really good perspective on what guys and gals are doing in law enforcement out on the field.
Yes, absolutely. I believe it does. It keeps me grounded to understand what the men and women of the department are doing. So as I move into that political atmosphere, which is new to me,
sure,
that I don't forget where I came from.
No, that's excellent. Well, that's, you know what? It's okay to say, hey, this is new, but you're ready. And I think your experience certainly gives you a good foundation for it. If you're just joining us, Eric Dietrich is running for sheriff. EricDietrichForSheriff.com is a website. And we're glad he's in the studio. We've got more questions for him. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At the Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support the Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And welcome back. Eric Dietrich in the studio with us, taking time out of his very busy schedule to talk with us about his campaign to be the next sheriff of Volusia County. And, you know, the thing that I was thinking about on the break, Eric, is, you know, there's an old cliche that, you know, with the bad guys, they only need to be right once in a while. You got to be right all the time. And so you got to be thinking ahead and how you respond to these threats that we face in our community and, of course, across the country. And so how do you, you know, we've got a lot of law enforcement in Volusia County. And, of course, that's great. Keep us safe, please. How do you get all the different organizations or these different departments to coordinate when you have a some sort of major threat or terrorist action?
Well, David, that's a great question, and that's been one of my priorities. And as your sheriff, I would implement a program that brings all these agencies together for a uniform response to an act of domestic terrorism or a violent active shooter. With so many law enforcement agencies in our county that do a great job, and they all have policies that address those active shooters or those active threats. But I want to make sure that ABC in one policy means ABC in the other policy.
So you're all talking the same language. And
Correct. This is something that I did as our SWAT commander after 9/11 with the area, the SWAT teams in the Central Florida area. Mm. We met once a month where we brought all the SWAT team commanders together so we could first, introduce ourselves to each team so we could minimize confusion if they requested another team come assist them or if we had a mass casualty incident at Disney World. I want to do the same thing with our local law enforcement. So when we have an incident and a Volusia County deputy and a Daytona Beach police officer and a Holly Hill police officer show up on the scene, you have three different agencies and they have to make an immediate decision on how they're going to go in and address the threat, that you minimize the confusion.
Sure.
And you minimize the time that they should know from the beginning how to go in there and do that and work as a team with other members from other agencies. And that's something that can be accomplished simply by bringing the training supervisors of each agency together, putting them in a room the same as I did as a SWAT commander, and ensuring that we have uniform practices.
That's excellent. Yeah, when time's of the essence, you don't have time for translation between different departments.
No, and this has been a priority of mine since day one when I announced my candidacy.
Excellent. Good, good. Well, we've got a couple minutes left. I think the thing that we need to make sure we touch on, and again, I know it's on the website, the ericdietrichforsheriff.com, but talk to us a little bit about the qualifications. You know, I got the part about your being in the sheriff's department for 20 some odd years, and you've come up through the ranks and you've taken on a lot of responsibilities, including being chief deputy, number two guy in the organization. Talk about the background before that, FBI and some of these other things, training programs you've gone through.
Yes, I'm a graduate of the FBI National Academy that I attended in 2009. Very honored to be selective and attend that academy, which is a leadership law enforcement academy that less than 1% of law enforcement gets selected worldwide to attend. So I was very honored. Most importantly, I'm your hometown boy. I was born and raised here in Volusia County. I've grown up my whole life here other than when I went to the University of Florida, where I graduated with my bachelor's in criminology. But I love this county. I've chose to raise my family here, and this is where I want to be, and I want to be a part of the leadership that shapes the safety for the citizens of our county.
That's excellent. Well, that's what we need. We need long-term smart people and stable people to help steward our county through what will be challenges, but also opportunities to make it the place that people want to raise their families. You know, there's always in the world of finance and in our economic development, we look for ways to make our county attractive, and more in this dangerous world we live in, safety, security, and people feeling comfortable is a major plus for a community. So we need that.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just because it's a smart or good thing to do, but because we need it. And is this right? I read the bio. You born in Halifax Hospital?
Yes, born at Halifax Hospital.
You don't get more native than that. and then you grew up here. What high school?
Spruce Creek High School.
Okay.
I attended Warner Christian Academy for elementary, Campbell Junior High for middle school, and a graduate of Spruce Creek High School in 1989.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you, Eric. And I tell you, I admire what you're doing running for political office with all the background and being steeped in the actual job. This isn't like you're transferring into the area and say, okay, guys, what goes on in this community? You already know a lot of the stuff. So you can, when anybody takes political office, there's always those first 100 days or there's so many days that are so important. You can kind of hit the ground running, which is, I think, a valuable thing for us.
Yes, there'll be a seamless transition, and the citizens can be assured that they're safe. There will be no lapse in their safety.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Eric. We appreciate you coming to the studio and talking with us. Check out Eric's website, ericdietrichforsheriff.com. A lot more good information. We wish you the best, Eric.
David, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.